Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay? I'll tell you what, being up front here is a daunting task, yet very humbling. And I pray that the Lord will speak to each one of us as we share the story of Bartimaeus together. This part of scripture that Jackie read, thank you, Jackie, has been so meaningful to me lately that I thought I would share what I learned. Oftentimes I take lessons that I get out of scripture and try to put myself in a position where the Lord is speaking to me. Why don't we read it together again? So it was in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 and 52. I'd ask you to just put your finger there as we go through our study this morning. We won't go anywhere else but right there between verse 46 and 52. So it reads, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called the blind man, 'Cheer up, and on your feet, he is calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus. 'Your faith has healed you.' And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be in your presence here and to be with our brothers and sisters. We ask, Father, that you may send us the Holy Spirit, and may we be in the presence of Jesus and you, Father, as we open thy holy writ this morning. We ask, O God, that you may open our mind and our hearts that we may be receptive for what you intended for us to hear this morning. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are not here with us, wherever they are, Father in heaven, that you may bless them in a special way. We are thankful, Father, for those that have not been here for a while, that they are here with us. May you bless them, O God. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. A story is told, you know, that a number of years back, a young and very successful executive was driving down a suburban street in his very expensive, brand new Cadillac. Suddenly, a brick was thrown from the sidewalk, thumping into the side of the car. Brakes slammed, gear into reverse, and tires madly spun the Cadillac back to the spot where the brick had been thrown. The driver jumped out, grabbed the kid who had thrown the brick, and pushed him against a parked car. "What was that all about?" he screamed. "That's my new Cadillac, and that brick you threw is going to cost you a lot of money. Please, mister, please, I am so sorry. I didn't know what else to do, pleaded the youngster. I threw the brick because no one else would stop. Tears were dripping down the boy's cheek as he pointed around the parked car. It's my brother, mister, he said. He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up. Sobbing, the boy asked the executive, would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt, and he's too heavy for me. In a moment, the mood was transformed as the young executive realized what had occurred. He lifted the young man into the wheelchair and took out his handkerchief and wiped the scrapes and cuts. He then watched as the younger brother pushed him down the sidewalk toward their home. The young executive never did fix the dented side of his Cadillac, you know. He kept the dent to remind him not to go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at him to get his attention. Question for you this morning, my dear friends. This young lad threw a brick to get the help he needed. Bartimaeus needed to shout at Jesus to get his help. But I wonder what it would take for Jesus to get your attention. What would it take? Most of us want Jesus to help us with something, but we are not doing anything about it. May I suggest that if you want Jesus to do something for you, you ought to do something about it. Notice the title of our sermon this morning. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Is the title of our sermon. What do you want Jesus to do for you? This is a question that most of us, to be honest, want to be asked. We want to be asked, what do you want Jesus to do for you? It gets our attention and makes us start thinking of a list of things we want. What I'm asking is really what you want him to do for you. What is your deepest desire that is so urgent, that is so critical for you, that you need Jesus to stop and help you? Bartimaeus shouted, but what do you need to do to stop Jesus so he can help you? What do you need? The scene we just read in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52, takes place in Jericho, a popular resort city. Like any other large city, beggars were a common sight. And that's where Bartimaeus, or the son of Timaeus, comes into the picture. We all have to understand that because most occupations of that day required physical labor, anyone with a crippling disease or disability was at severe disadvantage and was usually forced to beg. Blindness meant no work and therefore no source of income. As a beggar, he was at the bottom of social privileges. But on this day, this blind brother was minding his own business like he did any other day, sitting by the roadside doing what? Begging. I imagine that some days people gave him nothing, but other days he received a few coins. But this day was going to be different. Jesus was coming this way. He had clearly heard of Jesus. That's why when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Bartimaeus was desperate. Getting back his sight was his deepest desire. It was critical and it was urgent. He needed help, and the Savior was passing by. So he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." As I read this part of Scripture, I wondered to myself how often in our desperation, you and I, we forget about our ever-present Savior. Instead, we choose to seek help from so-called experts, from friends. Other times, we rely on ourselves, our abilities, especially we brothers, our achievements, our standing in the church. We're in good standing. Our standing in society, or we call on our so-called social connections. But Bartimaeus reminds us to shout at Jesus and tell him what we want him to do for us. Notice what is happening here. There is no conversation that takes place about how Bartimaeus got there, how difficult life was, or how downtrodden he felt by those who were passing by. He just shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That, I think, my dear friends, is faith. You know, I would argue that by saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," Bartimaeus recognized his own weaknesses, his own limitations, that he could not give himself what he needed. He couldn't. His sight. No one else could give Bartimaeus this specific need but Jesus. And I think there is something that you and I need here this morning, my dear friends. Only what Jesus can give you. Did you know? It's only when we recognize our weaknesses that we are earnestly ready to call on Jesus so he may have mercy on us. For as long as we do not recognize and accept our weaknesses or limitations, it's difficult to seek God's mercy. As an illustration, a few years ago, I had trouble with my knee, and the doctor prescribed medication. He also prescribed crutches to help me get around. At first, I thought it would be easy to get around. I'm a man. I thought it would be easy for me to get around the way I was used to. But I quickly found out that the swelling and the pain in my knee limited my mobility. I couldn't get around as fast as I could. And getting up the staircase took me several minutes. But I kept telling Hope to leave me alone, that I could do it by myself. But it soon became very frustrating for me. You know, pride got in the way. I needed help. But I had made a lot of statements about how able I was to get around on my own. How could I now ask for help? One evening, however, my wife pulled me aside and told me to swallow my pride and to ask for help. With tears in my eyes, I asked for forgiveness, which made it easier for me to get the support I so desperately needed to allow my knee to heal. It's the same when we call on Jesus for his mercy. We must first recognize and accept our weaknesses and limitations to allow him to do what he only can do in our lives. There are a few more lessons from this part of Scripture that I thought I would share. Notice there in verse 48, if you still have your finger on the Scripture that we just read. Verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, essentially saying, don't make a fool of yourself, or don't embarrass us. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Question for you, my dear friends, is what do you want Jesus to do for you? And what's keeping you from shouting? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. There is something about that name, Jesus. Are there people in your life that are rebuking you, that are telling you to be quiet so you don't embarrass them, or so you don't embarrass yourself, or that you should do it quietly, or even that you should seek help elsewhere from an expert, let's say? If so, may I encourage you to shut your ears from discouraging words from others and focus on calling on Jesus. I'm sure those who were rebuking Bartimaeus did not know what it felt like to be blind. Only Bartimaeus did, and that's why he shouted for Jesus. The lesson here is that don't be silenced by those who have no money and don't know how it feels not to have enough money, where you have to choose between paying rent or buying food for the family, or even between buying food or paying for medicines. Don't be silenced by those with jobs and don't know what it means to be constantly looking for a job and being told each time your application for employment has been rejected. Call on Jesus. I encourage you not to be silenced by those who have obedient children and don't know how it feels like to have rebellious children or rebellious grandchildren who have walked away from Jesus. Yet still, don't be silenced by those who have good, healthy marriages and don't know how it feels like never to have a meaningful conversation with your spouse. How about being silenced by those with spouses who don't know what it feels like to be single? Those who are healthy may try to silence you because they don't know what it feels like to have thousands of dollars in medical bills, yet be told by many doctors they just can't figure out what's wrong with you. I encourage you, my dear friends, the answer lies in you having faith and calling on Jesus. Indeed, difficulties may start when you call on Jesus. And sadly, allow me to say, when we call on Jesus, sometimes the people whom we thought to be our spiritual brothers and sisters will be the ones who rebuke us. May I suggest you not listen to them? Another lesson in this part of Scripture is in verse 50. Let's start from verse 49, though. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. We're also reminded to cheer up, aren't we? And to get on our feet, because Jesus is constantly calling each of us softly and tenderly, remember? Yet some of us choose to ignore his calling, or we choose to listen to other things. Also, I don't know what time of the year this was, but if it was cold, Bartimaeus was willing to throw his cloak aside. It may have been the only thing that kept him warm at night. But at this point, it seems he didn't care. He needed to get to Jesus quickly. And the cloak may have been holding him back. Have you realized that sometimes our faith in Jesus and our ability to get to him is held back by certain things we choose to hold on to in our lives? Let me say that again. Sometimes our faith in Jesus and our ability to get to him is held back by certain things we choose to hold on to him. Let me break it down. For some of us, it could be anger towards someone else. For others, it could be envy or jealous. Yet still, for most of us, it's worry. Worry about an illness that has gone on for so long, and all hope of healing seems to have been lost. Worry about a child, a grandchild, an ailing parent. Or we may be worried because we are not sure if we'll make it to the next paycheck, or even how long our finances will last in retirement. To be honest, sometimes it could be disappointments. Disappointments in our lives that are holding us back. And to be frank, sometimes it could be disappointments about prayers in the past that God did not answer the way we desired. The question I leave you with is, as Jesus calls you, take an inventory of your life and assess what you need to throw aside in your life so that you can build your faith to allow you to get to Jesus. He is still the same Jesus who called and healed Bartimaeus. Verse 51 there reads, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. In verse 52, we see Jesus giving Bartimaeus his sight. That's what most of us see. Bartimaeus getting back his sight. And we miss the last part. We overlook the fact that Bartimaeus decided to follow Jesus immediately. Sometimes we may shout for Jesus and ask or expect his help, but only for a specific need. Only for a specific need. Yet we desire that afterwards we'll get back to our normal self-centered life. But the lesson here is that Jesus wants us to follow him immediately and do so faithfully. What Jesus wants is for us to take our deepest desires to him. He wants us on his side, not on our side, in his footsteps. Put another way, he wants us to have a solid relationship with him. Bartimaeus is a great example of how to exercise faith. May I encourage you to have faith, for as you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did you know that if asked, What do you want Jesus to do for you? Most of us will not have a response. Did you know that? Or it will take a while to come up with a response. Part of the reason is because we are spiritually blind. I think part of what Mark is communicating in this part of Scripture is that we need to ask God to open our eyes that we may see. Indeed, we need to have our eyes opened that we may see what is important, really, really important to God. Because what is important to God ought to be important to you and I. As we close here, my prayer this morning is that each of us may shout individually, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Ask him to open our eyes that we may see what we want him to do for us. What we want him to do for us. And that what we want him to do for us is his desire for us. I pray that our eyes may be open and that we will see his desire for each one of us and that we will follow him. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.